Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus the Lord. Amen. Start today with a question for you. Have you ever wanted to just hear God speak to you plainly and clearly and tell you what he wants you to do in your life? You ever wanted him to just explain it to you in clear English and tell you plainly what to do? Well, since you say yes to that, then I actually have good news for you, because God is going to speak to you right now through me as his mouthpiece, through as I read the scripture, and tell you exactly his will for your lives. So I want you to hear this now through me, but God himself is going to speak to you. He says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Think about that. He tells you to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. You don't have to go out to some guru or some Hindu mystic, not that he'd know anything anyway, but you can hear it right now plainly. This is what God wants you to do in your life. Be rejoicing always, praying constantly, and giving thanks in all circumstances. And today I'd like to talk about the third one there, about giving thanks in all circumstances. And not only because of the time of the year, and not only because it's fitting for us always to be thankful, but also because most people, although they'd agree that giving thanks is good, they just don't do it. It's a very rarely practiced thing. Unbelievers, in fact, can't give thanks to God because, number one, they don't know him, they don't believe in him, and they don't know what he's done for them in Christ, so they don't know what to give thanks for, even if they did know him. But for us as Christians, thanksgiving is an integral part of the Christian life. It is a golden thread that God wants to be woven through the fabric of your entire life and thought life. Is it? Or is this just something you, like most, pass off and go, yeah, check mark, I agree with it, but I don't really do it. And as they say, if you want to find gratitude in the world, where do you look for it? Best place to find it is in the dictionary, because people don't generally practice it themselves. But listen to this in Colossians, which we just read a few moments ago, or Art read for us. Paul says this, as therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So there you can see that the apostles were teaching the believers that this is integral to the Christian life, to fill it with thanksgiving. And this word for abounding in it, that word in the Greek is parousio, which means your thanksgiving should exceed a fixed number of measure, should be that which is left over above a certain number, which overflows and spills over and is abounding, just like some of these cornucopias that you're just spilling fruit out of them. Is that what your life is like? Are you really doing this? Thanksgiving all the time in all circumstances? Or are you just going, yeah, I agree with it, but I practice it occasionally when it's necessary. Well, let me just fix this in your mind, that this is an important part of our Christian life. Look at Colossians chapter 3, which is also in your bulletins there. The reading goes like this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. And here I want to challenge you. Count how many times that Paul references thanksgiving in this, okay? You're going to tell me? You with me? Are you awake? You're going to tell me here in a minute how many times? Forbearing one another, and if one hasn't complained against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord's forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So how many times? How many?
Three.
Oh, I got five over there. It's actually, maybe there's some hidden ones in here. I count three. But you have compassion, kindness, lowliness, all these mentioned once. You got thanksgiving, and giving thanks mentioned three times, at least, in this passage. Now, if God had sent two angels down from heaven to gather up all your petitions in a basket, and another angel down with a basket to gather up all your thanksgivings, what would he find? One might return to heaven with all this full basket of your requests, and the other one empty, maybe, with just one or two leaflets of thanksgiving in there. Well, God wants that basket to be full, overflowing. That's his will for you and your life. And I need to encourage you today with some looking at the scriptures as to why this is such a wonderful thing for us as Christians. So let's understand today why it's such a good thing that we should give thanks to God so that you might do it more. Number one, we'll look at Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. Let me read this to you. This is a Psalm of David, and he says this, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I'll sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. This psalm teaches me that we ought to give thanks to God because it's due to him, because God is the giver of every good thing. Just think in your lives of the things that God has given you. He created you. He daily sustains you with water and sunshine and food and shelter. He's given you a family and friends and a spouse and children, many of you. And he gives us daily air to breathe and safety and security and deliverance, daily comforts, the Holy Spirit, heaven, tender care, and salvation. And as it says in James chapter 1, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, if God is so gracious as to give you all these things, and you are able to actually sit here in this sanctuary today because of his goodness, and that's the only way you can sit here, because he's given you a body, he's given you a life, he's given you food to live this week, he's given you shelter, he's given you clothes, he's given you a congregation, he's given you a church, he's given you friends. And as Vivian was sharing me this, can I share this? I didn't ask permission for this, but she was saying she went and got a heart check this week. Everything was good, but she was actually able to see through an ultrasound her heart beating there and the valves opening and closing and everything working just beautifully. And she just said it just made her feel how fearfully and wonderfully I made. Don't you realize? A lot of times, though, our eyes are closed to these things, but we got to remember that we are giving thanks to God that's due to him because he's the giver of every good thing. And as it says in Psalm 63, because thy steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise thee. My soul feasts when I think of thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the watches of the night. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. And so the first reason is because God deserves it. He gives us everything. And so we had to be giving thanks to him and having our eyes opened to all these blessings. Another reason is because, frankly, we can't offer him anything else. What can you offer to God that he doesn't already have? Did you listen carefully to the psalm this morning we had in Psalm 50? It says this. God says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves on the field is mine. If I were hungry, would I tell you? I would not tell you. For the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? In other words, what can you offer to the God who has everything? You know, what can I offer to a guy like Donald Trump? Here, some petty cash? He wouldn't care about something like that because he owns most everything. Well, I'm talking about a God who makes him look like the biggest pauper in the whole world. God owns everything. What are you going to offer to him? The answer here in verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And then he concludes that psalm saying, he who brings thanksgiving as a sacrifice honors me. To him who orders his way aright, I'll show the salvation of God. And so we give to God thanksgiving because it's due him, but also because it's really the only thing we can give him. And last week, we had offerings, and we took in a beautiful offering. And that's really the best part of thanksgiving is the giving of thanks through our money, through our possessions, through our time, through our gifts. But I smiled last week. Maybe you saw me, maybe you didn't. When the offering came up, I saw this card on the top. I won't let you know the name of the person, but I'll keep that private. But I just smiled because I thought this was the best offering we had last week in that plate, even though I'm thankful for all the others. It says, I thank God for bringing me and my family to know Christ. Thank you, God. Signed, member of our congregation. Isn't that beautiful? This person didn't want it to be published necessarily. I got permission for it. But she just wanted this to be between herself and God. And just to give thanks. This is what God wants. This is the offering that's acceptable to him, whether it's in words written or in money or gifts given to him and to his church. That's what pleases him. And really, if you think about it, this is the only way we can have a relationship with God, because he's a God of grace. What have you that you did not receive? Everything you have is a gift. Even your salvation is 100% the work of Jesus Christ. And so God has made a relationship with him where we give him thanks. And we need to be careful then against ungratefulness and this sin, which is abounding and overflowing and spilling over in the world with unbelievers. It's a story once of this took place on September 8th, 1860, Northwestern University in Michigan. There was a steamer that foundered off the coast on Lake Michigan, and many people were dying in the waters. And a college student from Northwestern University, a guy named Edward Spencer, saw a woman struggling out there in the fierce breakers. And he took off his clothes and dove into the cold waters and braved it to rescue and bring in this woman from the teeth of the deep. And not only did he save her, he went in 16 more times and saved 17 people that day, until at last he collapsed on the beach from a delirium, from cold and exposure. He was a biblical student, but he wasn't able to pursue a life of ministry because this so debilitated him physically that he wasn't able to ever really fully recover from that day. And it says that he died in California at age 81, and in a notice of his death, one paper said that not one of these 17 rescued persons ever came back to thank him. Can you imagine that? Now I ask you to think of your Lord, Jesus Christ. See him now, standing before Pilate, having already been bruised and scourged and bleeding, and his bones aching, gasping for breath. And then see him at the cross with nail-pierced hands and a sword-pierced side, and basically collapsing from a delirium of exhaustion in accomplishing your work of salvation and the work of salvation for the world. And how it must grieve him that the ungrateful hearts of this world hear this gospel given to them as a gift, and they say, no thanks. Well, what should it be with us? It should be a life of thanksgiving. For understand this, in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of many, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable. So ungratefulness is one of the signs of the last days. If you see it in the world, don't catch it like you catch a cold. You are to weave thanksgiving into everything you do in your Christian life. Which leads to the next point is that, and this is really not why we give thanksgiving, but I think it is a wonderful blessing God puts in it, is that it actually blesses us when we give thanksgiving. And it changes the way we look at the world. And the world is so often full of grumblers and malcontents. You know these types. The glass is always half empty, and it's always a cloudy day, and it's these people are not very fun to be around. But Thanksgiving changes all that. But the way it is in the world, if I can just postulate or think about this, is the world looks at the world like this. They say, I may have all these things, but the one thing I don't want is what I fix my mind on. And until I get it, I won't be happy. Oh, just that one thing. Well, this is a temptation of Satan that he gives to you too. In Genesis chapter 2, remember? God gave Adam every tree in the entire world for fruit and for fruit, save only one. And he could have rejoiced in that and given thanks and gratitude. What did Satan say in Genesis 3? He comes to the woman and he said to her, did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? You notice his trick? And the way he's trying to trick you too? Don't look at all this abundance that God has given you. Look at the one thing he hasn't given you. And until you have that, you won't be happy. Was that the way you're living your life? Are you full of ingratitude? Are your eyes blinded as her eyes were blinded? Well, we need to remember Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, just yesterday I was having to fight off some bad thoughts and negative thoughts, and I thought, I'm going to put my sermon to practice. I'm just going to start thanking God, and I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to rattle off thanksgivings until I come home, you know? And I just started doing it. I thank you, God, for a traffic light that I don't get in an accident. I thank you, God, for those clouds. I thank you, God, that when I look at those clouds, you've given me the power to enjoy them. I thank you, God, for my life, for my wife of now 12 years as of today. I thank you, God, for my daughter. I thank you, God, for my church. I thank you, God, for my boat. I thank you, God, that we can get out on the water. I thank you, God, for health. I thank you, God, that even when we wrestle with health problems, you've sustained us through them. I thank you, God, also for tough times. Can you do that? Do you thank God for the roses and the rose petals and also the thorns? Can you thank him for that? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, I had a thorn in the flesh. I asked God to remove it from me, and God said, basically, you need this to keep you from being too elated and proud at the abundance of revelations. And Paul says there that he actually praises God for his thorn. He's content with weaknesses, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, and all this. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Can you praise him? Even for the things that are bad in your life, by which God molds you and shapes you into the image of Jesus Christ to be like your Savior, to praise him for the thorn as well as for the rose, for this is going to bring you healing. I noticed yesterday when I did this, I just kept rattling it off and just going and going and going. And my sour, kind of negative, gloomy mood just began to be like this red hot air balloon that just lifted off the ground, and I started to soar. My spirits came up because of the attitude of gratitude that I was cultivating. And I want to challenge you to do that. This week, I want to ask you to find one day where you just go ballistic. You are just weird with thanksgiving. You wake up and everything, you just all day long rattle off thanksgivings to God. And I want to just see if next week you can come back and say something's different. You know why? Because thanksgiving and gratitude is a close bedfellow of hope. And it's a very close friend of faith and trust. It's an extremely close married partner of joy. If you have thanksgiving and you keep on thanking God and praising him, no matter what happens, even in the tough times, The glass is not going to be half empty or even half full. It's going to be overflowingly full. Because you know, when you thank God and rejoice in Him and praise Him, you are remembering His provision for you in every aspect of your life. That not only is He going to create you and sustain you, but even if all hell should break loose, he'll see you to conquer. And in the last, even death, you can laugh at, because Christ, our King, has conquered death by His death. And so God provides in every way. But the Satan is trying to blind your eyes and say, look at the one thing you don't have, though. This, you know, if you had that, you'd be happy. If your money was a little better, you'd be happy. If your health was a little better, you'd be happy. If my relationships were a little better, I'd be happy. The one thing, he's blinding you, man. You got to praise him, and you can overcome him with gratitude, where God, by his Spirit, when you do that, opens your eyes. My goodness, he is everywhere around, fulfilling my every needs. What a great God I serve. And your heart will rise like a balloon in the sky. And it heals you. Just like Luke 17. We're not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Jesus said. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well or whole. Think of that. You think, I'm cleansed from leprosy. I'm well. No, you ain't. No, you aren't, says Jesus. No, you ain't. You are not healed. You are not cleansed. You may be gotten rid of leprosy, but you're not right with me. To be right with me, you need an attitude of gratitude, and then it can be said of you, your faith has made you well. So we give thanks to God because it's due him. My goodness, he gives us everything. We give thanks to him also because it blesses us, or at least that's an added benefit to it, and it also blesses others. Remember my grandmom, Grandmom Kittrell, on my mom's side? I mean, here's a woman when she got breast cancer at whatever age. She went to look for a doctor and couldn't find him because he'd been dead 25 years. She didn't go to the doctor ever. Always healthy, but just an attitude of gratitude. When she was in the hospital dying, you know, you didn't hear about, you know, sourpuss, this wrong, that wrong. With her, it was like, isn't this the most lovely hospital? I'm so thankful for these nurses. They're so kind. And, oh, the food is just lovely. You know, she had cultivated an attitude of gratitude, which not only blessed her, but blessed her grandson. And you see that faith before you today. And when you have a cheerful heart through this Thanksgiving, it's going to bless people around you and lift them up too. And it increases a harvest of Thanksgiving. And that's what I want for our congregation. I want us to be a thankful people. When we offer offerings, and we try to support the work of the church, we're not doing that through bake sales and Rice Krispie treats and oatmeal raisin cookies like some churches have to do. We offer to God out of thanksgiving from what he's first given us, acknowledging he owns everything and he's able to multiply all of our resources when we offer to him freely and with a cheerful heart. And why does God like a cheerful giver? Because he himself is a cheerful giver. So praise God with thanksgiving in your hearts today. Pick a day this week where you just wake up and you say, even if I'm weird today, all I'm going to do is just thank and praise him. And I want you to see just what's going to happen to you, because we give to God all that we are in thanksgiving of our money, our time, our talents, our gifts, the fruit of our lips in praising him. Why? Because God really, in truth, has given all to you. He's even given his own son, not sparing, to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to be your rescuer and savior. So also, let's give to him the thanksgiving due his name and come into his courts and offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Amen.